Okay, so now that we've had that jazzy little intro, so my name is Taylor Wilkerson. This is my first attempt at ever doing a podcast, but I've always wanted to do it. I am currently studying social work right now in master's degree, Virginia Commonwealth University, and I have my friend Shanna here with me today.
Hi, I'm Shanna. I'm in my last year of undergrad in art school studying graphic design.
And Shanna and I have been friends for 4 years now, and we met through some mutual friends freshman year, but I roped her into doing this podcast with me. So my idea today is I want to create this podcast called Revisited, and I want to call it that because I'm going to talk about dress codes today. And I used to be very passionate about this in high school. I used to talk about it with my friends a lot, talk about it with my family. And now that I'm in social work, I want to revisit the topic from a more social work perspective, bring some other different ideas and look at it from different ways. So I think it'll be interesting to see how I view the topic now versus how I used to, and just to really, really revisit the whole entire topic. Okay, so I want to start by giving Shanna a little bit more background about this. So, in class, for my social work policy and practice, we were following some bills through the General Assembly in this term in Virginia. And it's really cool because it takes place in Richmond, so, it feels really close to home and like you can really be involved. But anyway, so we had policy groups, and one of my group members had this policy where, so I'm going to read it actually, and I'll go ahead and just read the whole thing now so that you can really see where I got the background for this idea. So the bill is HB 2104, and it was proposed by Jennifer Carroll Foy in the regular session. And I'll just go ahead and preface this with it got killed. It didn't make it far, which is really what prompted me to want to have this discussion because just in our policy groups, I really wanted this bill to pass. So I'll go ahead and read it for you. So it requires any dress or grooming code, which the bill defines as a practice, policy, or portion of a code of student conduct adopted by a school board that governs or restricts the attire of any enrolled student to, one, permit any student to wear any religious, ethnic, or culturally specific or significant head covering or hairstyle, including hijabs, head wraps, braids, dreadlocks, and cornrows. Maintain gender neutrality by subjecting any student to the same set of rules and standards regardless of gender. And three, be clear, specific, and objective, and avoid any subjective term or standard such as distracting, provocative, or inappropriate. Four, prohibit any school board employee from enforcing the dress or grooming code by direct physical contact with a student or student's attire. And five, prohibit any school board employee from requiring a student to undress in front of any other individual, including the enforcing school board employee, to comply with the dress or grooming codes. So that's the background, and it didn't survive the General Assembly. It didn't get passed. It got left in the House Education Committee. And so I guess my first question for you are just like, what are your general ideas regarding that bill? Like, would you support it? Just from hearing a little bit about it.
I would definitely support it. I feel like it covers a lot more ground than I even thought, like by choosing like words that wouldn't be allowed to be used when dress coding, like distracting, like that objectifies women especially.
Yeah, that was my favorite part about it, actually, or at least like the part that caught my attention at the beginning, because that's in high school the stuff that fired me up about it. And so yeah, I think even just now looking back, like I was very into like the things that sexualized women in high school or sexualized girls in high school, not so much the culturally specific headwear or hairstyles, which I think shows that I've grown a little bit as a person and like understanding that as an aspect of school code too. But yeah, the thing that caught my attention was not being allowed to say the distracting, inappropriate, or provocative. Okay, so the next part that I wanted to do was really just discuss our experiences with dress codes in high school and really talk about things we've seen, things we didn't like, things we thought back in high school, and yeah, really just talk about your past opinions versus really what you think now. So I can start. The first thing that I was, like I said, I didn't like the terms that said distracting or inappropriate, and it all made me think back to my high school experience in sophomore year. I remember they banned wearing yoga pants or leggings to school. Like, girls couldn't wear that. Yeah, girls couldn't wear yoga pants unless they wore a shirt that went past their butt. So it was like they were clearly sending this message of like, your butt looks too good in these pants and you're gonna distract boys. And like, they did use the language like, this is inappropriate for school because it's distracting. And that's what initially got me fired up in high school, was that like, girls can't wear these comfy pants to school. And then, so I get very torn on this idea of professionalism too, that they promote dress codes, because I mean, jeans are allowed and you're generally not allowed to wear jeans in work settings unless maybe it's a Friday or you work in a really casual office. So I feel like if professionalism was what they were really, really going for, it would be like, you'd have to wear slacks every day. It's not like you just can't wear leggings. So that was my experience. I did see girls, they would get picked up out of class, they would get sent to the office, like your teacher would have to pick you out for having a dress code violation basically, and say like, hey, go to the main office because you have a violation. And then when you got to the main office, that's where they would do like the fingertip test to see like, is your dress long enough, or like, is that shirt actually covering like your butt and leggings and stuff. So it was, and then the part about that I feel like is even worse is like, when you got sent to school administration, like that's where mostly like men worked. So it would be like, oh, the teacher picked you out and now you have to go stand in front of a bunch of men and prove that you're like not wearing something inappropriate for school.
And at the same time, like, you're missing class time, or like you were trying to do something much more important already and you're like embarrassed and shamed by having to go to the office.
Yeah, I think about that a lot too, because even just that bit where they send you out of class, it's like, well, first of all, usually it's like most people see. So it's like, oh, this girl's wearing something that's not appropriate and she's getting sent to the office, and then maybe she'll come back wearing something different, or she can't come back until her mom brings her something, which did happen actually to my sister once. She wore a dress to school that was too short and she had to wait until my mom brought her something else to wear until she could go back to class. So I think that sends a really interesting message to students, especially girl students who are, and I don't want to knock that like boy students can't get targeted by this, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about it later, but boys do get targeted by the dress code for different reasons and not always with the same language, but they still do. And so it sends this message that the way you're presenting yourself is equivalent or linking you to like the education you can receive, which is definitely interesting when you look at the implications of that. So basically, how you look, how you dress is gonna control what you get to learn. So that's something I thought about. So Shanna, what were your experiences in high school with the dress code? Like, did you ever get dress coded? Did your friends ever?
I have this really specific memory of like walking into one of my classes and the male teacher like stopped what he was doing to like go out in the hall and talk to this one girl that was out there wearing like, it wasn't a tank top, but it was like one of those sleeveless shirts, and you could kind of see like her bra like slightly in like the armpit, which is obvious because like you're wearing a bra, you can't hide that.
Yeah.
And he told her that she either had to put on a sweater or go to the office because that was inappropriate. And I remember being really angry for her because like class was about to start, and like if you don't have a sweater, like, then I don't know what you're gonna do, miss class. And also like the fact that like her body was basically like inappropriate or like shameful. Yeah. Made me feel really uncomfortable.
I think even like a flip side to that is like, if she wasn't wearing a bra, teachers would probably have something to say otherwise, if you could like see other parts of her body. So I feel like it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because a lot of times girls dress in ways that are conducive to their identities, and when you make them change that, or even then it's like, wear a bra, you get sent to the office or put on a sweater, or don't wear a bra and it's like, well, now you're like really pushing it, like put on a hoodie or something. So it's definitely interesting the way that they address those kinds of issues in school. Okay, so the next part of our discussion, I wanted to kind of talk about bigger themes that come with dress codes. So a lot of things here are like slut shaming, and then even language that builds the foundation of rape culture, victim blaming, and things that we really talk about a lot now that we're in college, and now that these issues are, I don't want to say more prevalent because I think they've always been prevalent, but at least they're a little bit more talked about, I think. So the first thing I wanted to shout out my friend Liz from class, because she told me this when I first told her my idea about making this podcast, because I really wanted to get some more ideas about what people's dress codes experiences were like. So Liz told me in her high school, and she's from Northern Virginia, when they wore something that was deemed inappropriate, they got sent to the main office at their school, where they basically had, I guess, like a bucket of old gym clothes. And she kind of said, like, they don't know whose body they've been on. And you would have to wear that either over or like take away off what you had and put that on for the rest of the day. So it was kind of like, okay, somebody saw you in class, they know, like, oh, you came here wearing something inappropriate and you had to put that on. So yeah, so let's talk about, how do you feel about dress codes and then this overarching, larger, more complex themes about like victim blaming, college sexual assault? It's really big, so I'm sorry I asked you such a loaded question, but
Well, first off, I want to talk about how this like would affect like the student that's brought up to the office and has to like is forced to make this decision to like put on these disgusting clothes. And like,
yeah, and I guess he didn't even think about this too, but it takes away that choice, which is like a big thing about, you know, if we want to make the argument about like how someone presents themselves really reflects who they are as a person, like you're taking away that ability for them to reflect themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And sorry to interrupt you, you can go ahead and keep going. You were just talking about how the students feel.
I feel like a lot of those stories also have like gone viral lately. I'm changing the subject a little bit, but like that's also made me like angry that like,
yeah, just like seeing those, I guess, more prevalent. So I think that's a good thing though, because we do get to see like people coming together in those ways. But okay, so I'll throw it back to this conversation I had with my dad a couple years ago, and so his opinions on this have changed a lot since this conversation that we had too. So I'm doing him a little bit of a disservice by not having him on to like the podcast. But anyway, so my dad and I got into a very heated argument when we talked about how language manifests itself and like consequences. So for a long time, and I know that I don't have the experience of having kids, especially daughters, and like that fear of like something could happen to them, or you want them to be safe as possible. So I can understand for that reason why my dad believed things about like the way you dress reflects like what could happen to you or who you are as a person. And so this is terrible, but I remember this because it was so bad. So I think it was a Dave Chappelle skit that my dad watched, and he said, like, if you walk up to somebody who's wearing a police officer uniform and you say, like, hey, are you the police? I need help. And they're like, oh, no, I'm not a police officer, I've just got the uniform on. He, like, Dave Chappelle made that comparison to, I guess, girls that dress like sluts. So it was like, you walk up to a girl and you're, like, thinking that you can maybe, like, have sex with them because they're easier because the way they're dressed. And then, so he
like,
made the,
like, as if you're trying to dress to impress people or, like,
well, that, first of all, too. But then, like, you could, I don't, so I'll finish the analogy and then I'll get into my rant about this. So it was, he was like, well, what do you mean you're not easy? You've got the uniform on. And it's like, it just diminishes a person to like, oh, like all she is a slut, first of all. And then second of all, like some things I've been reading really talks about how girls changing the way they dress to set this like moral standard. So it's like girls instead of men are responsible for like promoting morality by dressing in the right ways, as if that will like change men from committing acts of sexual violence. And I'll also put a preface that women can commit sexual violence too, but in this situation I'm talking mostly about like male on female violence. So that's a conversation I remember having with my dad when I talked about like language of dress codes and distracting, provocative, inappropriate. And basically at that time he had told me the analogy like, well, if you got the uniform on. And I still think about that today because of how a lot of people still think that. And I don't want to do my dad too much discredit because I'm sure he doesn't believe that anymore. But yeah, so that's something that stuck in my mind for a long time. Do you have any more thoughts on that, or?
That's the first time I've heard this analogy, and I hate it. But, like, that just goes straight into, like, victim blaming. Like, you're asking for it based on what you're wearing, but you're not wearing clothes for someone else. You're wearing them for yourself.
Or even if you are wearing for them for someone else, like that doesn't give the excuse to, like, not ask for consent or to violate somebody's, like, consent. So I really think, like, using this language and promoting this idea about, like, well, you're presenting yourself in a certain way, so, like, things that come to you are deserved, is, like, that's the basis for violence against women, basically, and, like, unwanted sexual advances, unwanted anything. Exactly. So, I mean, so that's something I just thought about a lot during this, and
something else I was thinking of is, like, how, like, different college has been regarding, like, dress in general, because there isn't really a dress code and anyone can kind of just wear like whatever they want.
Yeah. And like, have you ever felt, I guess, to quote, distracted by like things people have worn? Or
I've never felt distracted.
I mean, yeah, so that's another thing about like men can't control their urges, they're gonna be so distracted they can't learn. Women should change. But like we said, like, it appears that people are getting along okay in college. They're not, nobody's, like, passing out and dying because somebody's wearing a tank top.
No one's lecture is ruined.
All right.
Hello, this is Catherine Lamb. I'm a sociology graduate from VCU, and I'm Taylor's friend, and I'll be here to talk about the dress code.
So I brought Kat to read some statistics. So I'm going to talk about this study, and let me read you guys the details that way. So it's called Undressing Policy, A Critical Analysis of North Carolina, USA Public School Dress Codes. So I chose this article because in a lot of ways, North Carolina, it's one state away from Virginia. It has really specific research into all of their dress codes, and in a lot of ways, it's politically similar to Virginia, a lot of the same type of populations. So this was conducted by Tori Edwards and Catherine Marshall from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And basically what they did was analyze 122 districts' dress codes and dress policies. And then now Kat's going to read us some of the statistics behind them and then what they address.
Out of 122 districts, cleavage was mentioned in 26 districts with 28 uses. Gang symbols were mentioned in 12 districts with 15 uses. Hair was mentioned in 13 districts with 29 uses. Hoods or hoodies were mentioned in 20 districts with 23 uses. Midriff was mentioned in 36 districts with 41 uses. The word neat was mentioned in 11 districts with 13 uses. Sagging was mentioned in 30 districts with 30 uses. Tank tops were mentioned in 27 districts with 33 uses. Between all these, the dress code violations of girls were mentioned 291 times, while boys were only mentioned 142 times.
Okay, so the last thing I wanted to do before we wrapped up was talk about how our opinions about school dress codes have really been revisited through the research that we've talked about and how they've changed. So I can start first. Basically, I mentioned this a little bit at the beginning, but I really didn't think about the intersectionality of dress codes so much, or the intersectional impact. So maybe not realizing how women of color were dressed more in the dress codes. So things like sagging pants and wearing gang-related activity are things that are really targeting people of color more than just women or women's bodies in general. And it can even apply more to women of color. So that's something I never thought about. What about you guys?
I never really thought about that either. Specifically in one of the instances you were telling me about where, like, if your hair is obstructing, like, the view, it's distracting and like you will be disciplined for that, and I think that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, especially, so I think what people are talking about when they talk about that is like they want people to have hair that resembles like whiteness, and they want these dress codes are just really using this ideal about like whiteness as ideal and whiteness as what is superior, and that's what we want to promote. So we don't want people that have like large hair, like an afro or large braids. So that's definitely something that I didn't think about until I really got into college, and I heard more of the experiences of other people telling me that, like, yeah, actually it's a reality that I've been punished for my hair or something like that.
Yeah. I think also neatness is something that's not necessarily accessible to everyone, just because what does that mean? Does that mean you're clean? Does that mean, like, you have your shirts ironed? And, like, it's just something that's not necessarily available to everyone to be considered, like, neat all the time.
Yeah, I think that kind of gets into even, like, deeper, like, class. Like,
yeah, classism, and then that also affects, like, their, like, pursuit of an education.
Yeah, so I feel like when you look at small things like dress codes, you can really see the way they're, like, in the cycle of, like, oppression of things. So, you know, you come from a family where they don't have money to really have neat clothes by the dress code rules. And so it's like you get taken out of class, or you have to go home, or somebody has to bring you new clothes so that you can adhere to the dress code. But, like, what if your parents work? And just things like that that you don't really always think about when you first see the dress code as just sexist language. And then I know another big thing that's really been coming up is, like, headwear, and that's become big in I guess maybe, like, gone viral recently. But so I think mostly for myself, it's just, like, seeing the dress code as more than just women. And so something I that's, like, a fault of mine is I'm very critical of white feminism now, even though for the longest time, like, I was a white feminist, or, like, I didn't think about other minorities or other groups of people as much as I did white people. So I think maybe this is, like, a call to me to step back from my criticism of people that are just learning about feminism and just learning about issues and advocacy. So, yeah. Did you guys have anything else?
No. I guess it's making me think more about, like, privilege.
Yeah.
And, like, the place, like, where we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so, I'll talk about an example I saw. So this was basically a picture of, like, what was not allowed with dress codes. And this also, like, this was something I didn't think about when I was thinking about my experience with dress codes in middle and high school. So I remember it was a big thing because boys would sag their pants. And that was, like, a thing that was not allowed. And if you did that, you would get sent to the office. And I guess they would use, like, pink string to, like, make a belt out of your pants. But at the time, I guess sagging pants was, like, a part of mainstream, like, culture, so it was really, like, popular culture going on, but it was deemed unacceptable largely because it was, like, mainstream African-American culture versus, you know, like, it was prevalent in, like, hip-hop and things like that versus white media as much. It wasn't as prevalent in white media. So even, like, looking back at the things that I immediately thought about dress code, it was all, like, women, girls, people that were my friends, not necessarily, like, looking at bigger pictures and realizing that men are impacted as well, especially men of color. Okay, so to wrap up this podcast, thank you everyone that helped me, because I know this was a little difficult at times, but so I wanted to just end it with saying that I'm thankful for this project for helping me think of things in different ways now. And I really wanted to just emphasize that language is the barrier, but also it's the basis for every thoughts that we have, for the way we can engage with policy, and for the way policy gets communicated. So really, the language that's present in school dress codes permeates into a whole lot of other things that we talk about. And even though it may seem like something small, like it's just a dress code, it's just a dress code that makes it so men dress professionally and don't sag their pants, like, really, that's telling something else, telling a bigger story about what we value in society. So I just wanted to thank my friends for discussing this with me and for fulfilling my dreams of making a podcast. So thank you to them. And also, I hope that this helped advocate a little bit more for people who are oppressed by the dress code, people who the dress code doesn't serve, and for people that it can be changed to potentially serve better. And thank you.
Am I allowed to look at her like that? Could it be wrong when she's just so nice to look at? And she smells like lemongrass and sleep. She tastes like apple juice and beach.